Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John. The easiest way to do that is go to Revelation and go backwards. We are working through the book of 1 John, and we are at chapter 2, just about to finish chapter 2. And we have arrived at the last four verses, 6, 27, 28, 29. So what I want to do is I'm going to be looking at verse 18 so that we carry this thought forward, this writing that John is doing. So starting at verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 John, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Who? Well, he means these many Antichrists. But you, in verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, remember he's writing to the Christians, I'm writing to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth or is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Well, this is the Antichrist. So there's one characteristic of what many Antichrists look like and what ultimately the Antichrist will be like. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you've heard from the beginning abide, stay in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you too will abide in the Son, stay in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. Here's the good news, eternal life. That's great news. Now we come to verse 26. And 27. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught to you, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Welcome back. We've been out for a couple of Sundays. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been together. And I don't want to spend a lot of time in review, but I do want to set the stage here just a little bit leading into these next two verses of 1 John chapter 2. We talked about John writing there at the beginning of verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And we know and we cover the prophecy of the Antichrist at the tribulation. There will be an ultimate singular Antichrist. John very wisely, though, points out to his readers, to those he was sending the letter to, that though there will be an ultimate Antichrist, there are now many Antichrists. In verse 22, John says that anyone denying God the Father and denying Jesus Christ the Son is an Antichrist. Antichrist means to oppose Christ. John reminds his Christian readers that they know the truth and they should not be misled by false teachers and false preachers, many Antichrists. Because as believers, those who have been born again, they have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. John is writing this letter, again, to the many churches in Asia Minor, because false teachers, antichrists, were lying and polluting the true gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, some 2,000 years ago, denying who Jesus really was and who he is. People in and around the Christians then were trying to create a God that was different from the one true God. Well, this wasn't only pervasive back then in the first century. It's even more pervasive today. If John was sounding the alarm then, my goodness, what would he be saying today? And I love that this section of John's letter was preceded with what John writes in verses 15 and 17. Look there with me. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with all its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides, stays forever. Folks, listen to me. Today's culture is in love with and sleeping with the world. John was not really referencing material things as much as he was addressing the cultural things, the philosophies and the teaching and the beliefs and the way of the sinful world and how it thought at large. The battle today is a battle of ideas. And who can push their agenda of ideas better and faster to gain control and power? Most of all ideas and most ways of thinking the world has to offer are in pursuit of control and power and money rooted in sin. Take any idea or philosophy that you hear on the news, and behind that will be a cost and a need for money. Today, at this very time, this week, just as an example, the government has many ideas, so therefore they're debating. That word doesn't even make sense to me when I put this in a sentence. That they are debating over spending $3 trillion. You and I can't even really comprehend trillion dollars. Let me help you. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. 1,000,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000,000. On NPR radio, that would be National Public Radio, which is a very liberal, whatever, September 13th, 2021, at 5:07 a.m., host Noel King said the following, quote, "Senators are back from their summer recess today with a long list of things to get done. At the top of that list is the $3.5 trillion spending bill, which is a big priority. Policies like expanded health care, ideas, universal pre-K, ideas, and programs to fight climate change, ideas," end quote. Ideas, opinions, and the weather, for crying out loud, of which only God himself controls. Yet our society and our culture is hell-bent on trying to regulate God, the very maker of heaven and earth, the very giver of breath, of each and every breath that those very people take. John says not to be in love with the world's ways or its beliefs, which are the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. For if you are in love with those things, the things of this world, then you are not born again. The love of the Father is not in you. Why? Because the love of the world is. Whoever does the will of God, it says, abides forever. So, which is it, Christian? Is the love of the world or the will of God what controls your every step? Is it the love of the world or the will of God that controls your every thought? Is it love of the world or the will of God that controls your every action? Your every words? Your patience? Is it the love of the world or the will of God that controls your obedience? That sounds like the end of the sermon, but that's just the opening. Look at verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Stop there. Deceive you. The King James Version of that says, seduce you. I like that original word better, as it gives a better picture of what is really being done. The Greek word for seduce means to cause to roam from safety, from truth. To go astray from safety, from truth. To deceive from safety, from truth. To cause to err from safety and from truth. Or to wander from safety and from truth. Keep that definition in mind. So the deception is intentional. It would be on purpose, not by accident. There's a word horribly misused today, accident. I hear it all the time. You don't accidentally sin. You don't accidentally wander from the truth. The tongue didn't slip. Oop, I didn't mean to say that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the heart will reveal the inner person every time. Garbage in, garbage out. James 1, verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So the desire is the thought of the heart. Now I'm dwelling on it. Now I'm thinking about it. And now that desire has become sinful because now I want it. Whatever it is, I want my way. I want my whatever. I want my better life. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Death. So John here, he warns the reader about those who are intentionally trying to lead them astray. You know, modern English definition of the word deceive says this, to cause someone to believe something that is not true. Typically it says, in order to gain some personal advantage. Well, what would be the advantage? To control you, to promote themselves, and to destroy you along with others. John 8:44, listen, you are of your father the devil, Jesus is telling them. He is speaking here. You are of the father your devil, and your will is to do your father's desires, so to do Satan's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, out of who he is. He's a liar. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He's the father, the master of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. Did you hear that? He seeks to kill with his deception. I mean, he killed the spiritual life of Adam and Eve and brought death into the world at that time. And he did so by deception. When God came into the garden in Genesis chapter 3, he's questioning them and he's saying, "Hey, where are you?" And Adam says, "Well, I was naked and we hid." And even though God knew, he said, "Well, how'd you know you were not clothed?" And then Adam does what most good men do. They blame their wife. And then God looks at the wife, Eve, and he says, "What have you done?" And here's what she says. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. "The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Deceived there, that word, the Hebrew word for that, nasha. It's a root. It means to lead astray. That is, mentally, to delude, or morally to seduce. Notice his deception is disguised in seduction. Now listen to me, adults. There's a lot of things that are seductive. Teenagers, lots of things that are seductive. What is this seduction? It's making something look desirable that is poisonous. Attractive for many reasons on the outside, but nothing but destruction and grief and hardship and loneliness and depression and death on the inside. And drugs, music, video gaming, television, pornography, money, popularity, friends, prominence, alcohol, cars, homes, hobbies. I mean, things. All of these can and are seductively presented to you and I daily. Gang. You take it from drugs to laundry soap on TV. And it is seductive. Every bit of it. Just watch it. Just watch it. And how they present it. It's seductive. In reality, they are seducing, making attractive, to entice the desires of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and pride of life. You understand seduction is life-ending and soul-killing. Proverbs 7, 21 through 23, listen to this. Father writing to a young man, and he's talking of immorality with a stranger woman, with much seductive speech, she persuades the young man. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once, he follows. As an ox going to the slaughter. Till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushing into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Wow. Seductive. 1 Peter 5:8 calls Satan a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Revelation 12:9, the beginning of that verse says, "And the great dragon was thrown down," so he's talking about the end time, "that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, comma, the deceiver of the whole world." Matthew 24:24, in the end times, again, the last days, he says this, "For false Christ," so false teachers and false prophets, "will rise and perform great signs and wonders so they can lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Christians, it is even difficult for you now. And it's going to get harder until his second coming, not easier. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." And no wonder, he says, "For even Satan," now get this, listen to this, "even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." That would be seductive, appealing. He's not going to come to you as the angel of darkness. Why? Because you're going to, "Oh, I don't want that." But if he comes to you as an angel of light, he's deceiving you. He's looking seductive. It looks nice. Go ahead. Think awful thoughts about that other person at work. And he's going to tell you, "It's okay, even though you're a Christian. They did. They treated you horrible. Think that way. It's good." No, he's going to come to you as an angel of light. That's seductive. It's enticing. It's alluring. And he goes on to say, Paul does, "So it is no surprise if Satan's servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." Young people, you've heard me say this before. Man, you're up against it. I mean, you're up against it. The internet is loaded with deception and lies. How will you ever discern the truth? Again, Paul writes to young Timothy. Listen to this. "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Not fat and happy. Not all the money in the world. No problems. That's not what he says. "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters," there it is, "will go from bad to even worse, deceiving and being deceived." Not only will people intentionally lie and try to deceive you, they will start believing the lie and becoming more deceived themselves. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Remember, we talked about things on TikTok and on Instagram, and we were just sitting here stunned at how people can believe such foolish, outlandish. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to us. He tells us that. That they are out to deceive, and they are doing it so much that they actually start believing the lie themselves. Paul continues in Timothy. In chapter 4, he says, "I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, Timothy, and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Listen to this. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound, solid teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Now listen, "and they will turn away from listening to the truth." Listen, remember the definition I gave you for deception and seductive? "And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." The very definition of being deceived or seduced was to wander off from the truth. Isn't that amazing? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, so at the end times, and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect the day of the Lord has already come. So in other words, listen, don't be fooled if something like that happens. That's not true. It's not from us. Listen to what he says. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of the lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, okay? Who opposes, there it is, Antichrist, he's opposing, and will exalt himself against every so-called God or object of worship, okay? Then he drops down at verse 9, listen, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Verse 10, and with all wicked deception. For those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now hear me out on this. It is God who will blind you and them because of their rejection of the truth. Remember, it is the sin of rejection, rejecting Jesus Christ, that sends a person to hell. Lying, stealing, adultery, coveting, idols, and all those things are in and of themselves not what sends a person to hell. They are just the outward result of the inward rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't be asleep. Don't be led astray. Don't allow yourself to be seduced. Don't allow Satan to deceive you. John writes here to highlight and to expose the deceivers and the deception. He says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Now, verse 27. You're probably thinking, my goodness, that was just an eight-word sentence. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So teenagers, adults, listen. When I said, my goodness, how will you ever discern the truth? Let me tell you something. It won't be through the internet. It won't be through the radio. It won't be through music. It won't be through the television. It won't be through your neighbor. Here's how you can discern the truth from lies. The anointing. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what the anointing means. This understanding and doctrine is so misused. Hear me out on this. And so abused and misunderstood. Listen to this. His anointing. His, God the Father, that's Jesus Christ, his anointing. I want you to look at something. Verse 27, but the anointing, the Holy Spirit, that you, what? Received. So it's not yours, it was given to you. It isn't made by you, it isn't generated by you. You can't produce it. You received from Christ abiding in you. Now look, he's not done. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his Holy Spirit teaches you. Did you catch that? Not as your Holy Spirit. It's not who you create. It's his. Here is why that gets hammered and abused and so misleading. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is a temple, a house of the Holy Spirit who is in you as a believer, whom you have from God. So you didn't generate it. And that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So when you hear teaching or preaching, telling you that more Holy Spirit will get and give you the things you want is a lie. You are not your own as a believer born again. You've been bought by the blood of Christ. You belong to Him, so your desires are to be His desires. Nowhere in Scripture, search all of Scripture, you will not find anywhere that the Holy Spirit and more Holy Spirit is so you get what you want. His anointing, His Holy Spirit teaches you about everything. Teaches you about everything. Are you hearing me? John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, capital H, Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth. You want to know how you discern the truth in today's world? By the Spirit of God living in you. No other way. Verse 25 and 26 of that same chapter. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, Jesus says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Nowhere in there did He say, He will bring to you a new house. He will bring to you a better paying job. He will bring to you money and success like crazy. He will bring you whatever you ask for. Just name it and claim it. That's not what it said. The Holy Spirit will teach you in all truth. The Spirit of God is real. The Spirit of God can be known. The Spirit of God in a person's life will be visible to some degree, no matter what. Now, hear me out. I can't tell you how important these two verses are. Teaching on the Holy Spirit is so just wrongly perpetrated. The Holy Spirit truly lives in you as a born-again believer. And how you and others will know that, there will be evidence to it. J.C. Ryle wrote, "The presence of the Holy Spirit in a man's soul can only be known by the effects of which it produces." He goes on to say, "The effects which the Holy Spirit produces are always going to be seen." Now, the man of the world may not understand them, and in many cases, it may be feeble and even indistinct, hard to tell. But where the Spirit is, the Spirit will not be hidden. He goes on, "He is not idle, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not idle when He enters the heart. The Holy Spirit does not lay still. The Holy Spirit does not sleep. The Holy Spirit will make His presence known. He will shine out little by little through the windows of a man's daily habits and conversations. And He will show Himself to the world that He is in the person." Close quote. John says here in this verse 27, you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing, Holy Spirit, teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Close your Bibles. Look up here. The Spirit teaches and compels you to come and to talk with God. The Holy Spirit teaches and compels you to walk with God. The Holy Spirit teaches and compels you to hear from God. Abide, stay in. It, the Holy Spirit, brought you to salvation through the will of God the Father and provided salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ the Son. Without the Holy Spirit of God living in you, those two things mean nothing to you. Therefore, it is the Holy Spirit that teaches you all things pertaining to God and man. Now, when he says this part, that he says, you have no need that anyone should teach you, he's not saying or implying that the gospel preaching and teaching are not needed today or even back then. That's not what he's saying. But it teaches, as one commentary put it, and I like the way it says this, it says, it indicates that neither those teachers nor those believers are dependent on human wisdom or the opinions of men for the truth. God's Holy Spirit guards and guides the true believer into truth. Christian, don't be deceived. Are you being seduced? Have you been seduced? Oh, you may not want to admit it, but we need to search our souls today. What in your life, Christian, needs to go away? What keeps you from spending time and abiding in Christ? Non-believers, there's something keeping you from Christ. It will require you to repent, to be willing to admit to God and to get rid of it. Whatever it is, know this, it is killing you. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Christian believer, can others see the effects of the Holy Spirit living in you? Maybe better yet, can you see the effects of the Holy Spirit in and on your life? In Galatians 5, he writes, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh, the body, are against the Spirit. You get that? They're already enemies from day one. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things, these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Wow. It's going to cost you something. Christian, non-believer, it's going to cost you something. This is to keep you from doing the things you want to do, which are going to be wicked and evil. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Here's the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, he writes, as I warned you before, that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the production of the Spirit, is love, joy. Now, keep in mind, we'll do a survey of all your friends and neighbors and your coworkers. And we will say it like this: is Terry loving? Is he joyful? Is he peaceful? Is Terry patient? Don't answer that, Stace. Is Terry kind? Is Terry full of goodness? Is Terry faithful? Is Terry gentle? Does Terry live in self-control? Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, there it is, kill, gotten rid of the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Christian, can others see the effects of the Holy Spirit living in you? And can you see the effects of the Holy Spirit living in you if you say you're a Christian? Walk in the Spirit and abide in Christ. Let's pray.